There's one thing we know for sure tonight. God is good.
Amen.
No, all the time. We've done this before, guys. Ready? One more time. God is good.
All the time.
Woo! All the time.
That's
what I'm talking about. Listen to these words from Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm getting fired up because that's what John's been trying to do this week, and he's been doing a great job. Amen?
Amen.
I think you all are with it tonight. Let's try hallelujah. Ready? Hallelujah! John, they're ready, buddy. They're ready. All right. Now let's see how we do with our call to worship. Number 669 in your hymnal. Number 669. Energy, enthusiasm, passion. Let's blow the roof off this place. Are we ready? 669. They're not ready. I still hear pages turning. John, you there? He's there. John's there. Dan, how about in the back? Dan, you there? Dan's there. Okay, Bubba, you there, Bubba? All right, here we go. A mighty wind has blown.
And fire.
The Spirit is with us. God's Spirit moves among us and gathers us together.
God's Spirit gives us power and calls us to serve the world.
God's Spirit is poured out upon us. Worship God with joy. And we come this evening doing that both in song and in hearing his word. Amen. Any announcements? The only announcement I have for you is this. Jesus loves you with an unconditional love. Know that as we go forth this evening and the rest of this week. Amen.
Please stand and turn to number 87, Great is the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Join the hand of the person next to you if you're able. Father, we gather together, hand in hand, proclaiming the greatness of you, our God. We gather together to remember the ultimate sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, that our sins would be forgiven. We gather together knowing that the tomb is empty, that there has been victory over death. And we proclaim our salvation this evening, trusting and believing in you, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for meeting us in this place. We pray every distraction would be removed in this moment. We pray our focus would be solely on you, that our ears would be wide open, that our hearts would be open, our minds would be open, and we would receive all that you have in store for us. We praise you for our brother John and just ask your abundant blessing upon him. Continue, Lord, to speak through him. Continue to use him to uplift, to renew, to give strength to your children. And we praise you in this hour, and we thank you, Father, for who you are and what you mean to our lives. And it's not a name we want to keep to ourselves. It's a name we want to share with others, the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Hey, Remy.
What?
You got a dollar? Do I look like I got a dollar? I'm a pack rat, for crying out loud. I can give you some cheese, but look at those people out there. I bet you they got a dollar. And you know what the power of a dollar is? It makes a difference in the lives of individuals. So like Remy, don't stack up on cheese. Let's stack up on dollars tonight and give abundantly. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the funds that you continually give us day in and day out. We know, Father, you are our provision. You provide for every single need that we have. Even when we don't think those needs will be met, Father, you come through. So we trust you, and we know that through our faith, our provisions, our needs are continually met. So we come tonight cheerfully offering our funds to you to be used for your glory. And thank you for this service to gather together to learn more about you. And it's in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, we have a few. Come on up, children. I thought I might be giving a story to my son, but it looks like we got some others back there. You guys want to come up real quick? You want to come up with me? Yeah, come on. Come on. Come on, Nathan. Hey. Good evening. How are you guys? Good. Good. Come on. Come on. All right. Good evening. How are you? Hey. Hey, I know these guys. Hi. How are you? Good to see you. Good to see you. Well, good evening. Welcome to church on Monday. Does that feel weird? Too weird. It's a little bit weird. And did it feel weird that it was like 50 degrees outside today, but it's supposed to snow tonight? That's got me all weirded out. I don't know. It's kind of strange. No? It doesn't feel weird at all. Well, I have a question. Do you guys have brothers and sisters? I know these three have brothers and sisters. Are you guys related somehow? No? No, not at all. I think other people know otherwise. I have a question. Do you ever do nice things for your brother or sister? Yes, what are some nice things that you sometimes do? I'm starting there. I figure that's the harder question. What are some nice things that you do for your siblings? Do you ever do nice things? Do you nice things for your mommy or daddy? Huh? Yeah, you do. What's some nice things? Nathan?
Give them hugs and kisses.
You give them hugs and kisses sometimes? Yes. What's wrong now? Yes. What else? What are some other nice things you do for your brothers or sisters? Emma, what's something nice you do for your brothers? You don't know? Okay.
I think I can do something.
You think you can do something, yeah. Yeah. Well, are there sometimes not so nice things you do to your brothers and sisters? Totally. What are some not so nice things that your brothers or sisters do to you? Bite you on the back two times, as if once wasn't enough, right? I mean, come on. Yeah, what else? What are some not so nice things that your brothers and sisters do to you? Yes. Uh-huh. Nathan, do you have something while she's thinking?
Pinch.
You pinch you, yeah.
Push me down to the ground.
Push you to the ground, yeah. Well, yeah. Careful, he'll do it right now. Yeah. And what happens when we do something that's not so nice, maybe to our friends? Just sometimes you do something not so nice to your friends, or maybe your mommy or your daddy, or grandma or grandpa's, or aunts or uncles, or just somebody that you come in contact with. Or your Aunt Rosita, yeah. Sometimes you do not so nice things to your Aunt Rosita. Yeah. What do you do? What do you do when you do something not so nice and you realize it? What's something you say? Sorry. Now, is it easy to say sorry or hard to say sorry? It's hard, yeah. It's sometimes really hard, isn't it? Sometimes you have to get really... How do you feel when you say sorry?
Mad.
Sometimes you feel mad. It makes it hard to say sorry.
Kind of confused.
Yeah, sometimes you feel confused because you know you don't want to be mad, but you just are. You ever feel that way? Well, today I'm gonna read a story about a guy. Okay. About a guy named Jacob in the Bible. And Jacob did something really... Emma, please sit down. We're not playing puppy. Please sit down. Thank you. We're going to have a story about a guy named Jacob in the Bible. And Jacob had a brother. And do you know his brother's name? Do you guys know the name of the brother's name? It starts with an E.
Elijah?
No, close. Esau. Do you guys remember Esau? Do you know the story of Jacob and Esau? Do you know what Jacob did? Yeah.
He wanted to kill his brother.
No, he didn't want to kill his brother. He stole from his brother. He stole all kinds of things from his brother. In fact, the Bible tells us he stole his inheritance. What's an inheritance? Yeah.
Something you get.
Something you get, yeah. Yeah, it was also called his birthright. So he got all of his father's property. That's pretty amazing. And he stole all of it from his brother. How do you think his brother felt? Probably mad, yeah? How else?
Really sad,
maybe? Maybe hurt?
Frustrated?
Confused? I think he was all those things. And you know what happened? Jacob ran away because he was afraid of his brother. He was so afraid of his brother, he ran away. How do you think, later, the story we're going to read tonight is about when Jacob and Esau saw each other again. How do you think Jacob felt when he knew that his brother Esau was just over that hill over there? Sad, maybe? Scared? How else?
Really scared, but then kind of confused.
Really scared, but kind of confused? Not sure what to expect? So you know what Jacob did? Jacob sent all kinds of presents ahead of him. And he said, here, Esau, take all these presents. When you have all these presents, maybe if I give you lots of things, you won't hurt me. And you know what Esau did? He came over the hill with 400 men. How do you think Jacob felt then?
Scared.
Yeah, more... Yeah, creeped out, maybe more scared. And so he sent him more gifts. And he sent out a bunch of people ahead of him just carrying things and saying, here they are, here, this is for you, Esau. Be a good friend, right? We like you, right? And do you know what happens in the end? What do you think Esau does? Yes?
He doesn't get mad.
He welcomes back his brother. Now, what is that called? Do you know? What could Esau have done? Yeah.
Killed his brother.
He could have gotten really mad at him for sure. And he could have done some pretty mean things, couldn't he have? And he could have yelled at him, and he could have done some pretty horrible things to him. But he decided instead to forgive his brother. And do you know what happens when we forgive one another? Yeah, how do you think Jacob felt after he was forgiven? Yeah, like they were brothers again. And suddenly what was broken, what was separated, was now brought back together. Did you ever be so, you're so mad at somebody and you feel like there's a big separation between you? You don't want to talk to them or see them? Did you ever have that? You know the remedy for that is forgiveness. Yeah, it's forgiveness. So when we say we're sorry, right, it's really hard to say we're sorry, but sometimes it's even harder to say, I forgive you, isn't it? Sometimes it's harder to say, I forgive you. So my challenge tonight to all of the adults here is to learn how to forgive. And I think it's the same for you guys, is we have to learn how to forgive. And that's a real wrestle, and it's really hard. But if we look and we look at the story of Jesus, we see all kinds of examples of forgiveness. And so I encourage you, as you read the story of Jesus together, or as you're in Sunday school or you listen in church, just listen for stories of forgiveness and help and learn how to forgive, because it will make you a much happier person and it will help you connect again with the people that you may have lost in your life. Yes?
Sometimes you don't have to forgive if you don't do it. So I would suggest that you don't do it so then you don't have to
give. Yeah, that's right. You don't have to ask forgiveness if you don't do it in the first place. You are learning what your father tells you. That's exactly right. I'm sorry only works if you don't do it next time, right? Isn't that how we say it? Yeah, yeah. Well, let's pray and ask Jesus to help us forgive. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this evening, and I thank you for these young people. And Lord, I thank you that you give us the chance to forgive one another and become again friends and come back together. Lord, I pray your blessing and your mercy upon us as we go forth, and we just thank you for everyone who's here tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can head back to seats. You can head back to the nursery if you'd like. I'm going to steal your... All right, perfect. Well, good evening. It is good to be here again on a Monday. I love it. It's great to be with you. I have to admit, I worked a full day at work today. How many of you worked a full day at work today? Yeah? Yeah? So I need some energy tonight. So I'm going to expect some hallelujahs if I can get them. I'm going to need them to keep going. But God is really good, isn't he? All the time. All the time. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord God, we thank you. And we praise you. And we worship you and we come before you. And we're reminded this evening, as we were last night, that God, you love us. You thirst after us. And so, Father, we come hopefully a little more vulnerable, a little more open to your word. Lord, in the last day, I pray that your spirit has remained with us, that, Lord, you might fill us anew in this time, and that, Lord, your grace and mercy might give us the path forward. Lord, bring us into a place of confession and open our hearts to your word, that it might change us and renew us. And all things that are of you, whether they come out of my mouth or out of the mouths of others today, Lord, may they just fill us and give us grace for one another. Lord, anything that tears down or destroys, Lord, that's not of you, and so we give it back to you and ask that it not be a part of who we are. For Lord, we come to be like you in this day, that we might live in your kingdom both now and forevermore. Amen. All right, so here's where we're at. So Sunday morning, we got together and we talked about the kingdom, right? We talked about this entrance into the kingdom and how we get to be the kingdom of God, right? And so much of our lives are separated between what we like to consider our secular world lives and our sacred world lives, right? And the goal of this week is to try to figure out, to try to parse through, how do we reconnect that those parts of us? How do we recognize that the God that is in this place is the same God that it sends me forth into the world, right? And so we're talking a bit about that for those of you who weren't with us Sunday morning. And as we're going through this, I wanna touch on a few things. So yesterday we talked about, do you guys remember who we talked about? Moses, yeah, Moses. And we talked about Moses, and we talked about his experience with the tablets, right? And we talked about the golden calf, right? We went through that whole thing, right? And we came to this moment where Moses had an argument with God, right? Sort of a dialogue with God, right? And remember, there was a moment when it almost felt like Moses might actually be winning the argument, and then God did the God thing, right? Well, I want to remind you, last night we were trying to enter into this idea that God sends us. He sends us with a mission and with a purpose, and he gives it to us. Do you remember the yours? Remember the back and forth, right? So God says, these are the people that you have taken out of Egypt. These are your people whom you have taken out of Egypt. And what did Moses say? God, help me with your people who you have taken out of Egypt. And God finally wins over the argument at the end. And we find out that really it's about Moses doing the thing which he knows he can't do in the first place. And yet he goes forth in the power of God, right? And what we find is that Moses ends up being enough. Not because of who God is, or not because of who Moses is, right? Not because of who Moses is, but because who God created Moses to be, right? He gives him that. And he calls him to that. And he says, this is who you are, right? And so we talked last night what I'm calling our unified argument. When we bring the sacred and secular together, we have to come to this acceptance that we, in fact, are given a mission and are enough. That we are loved by God. That's where an amen would be okay. That we are loved by God. Amen. There we are. Preach. That's what I want to hear. A little bit of that. And as we do this, I know there's some of you in the crowd saying, well, yeah, I get it. I get it. I get that I'm loved by Jesus. I've been told all my life I'm loved by Jesus. I get it. Right? I'm loved by Jesus. But he's just an amazing lover, right? He just has an amazing ability of loving someone who's really just not that great. And I grew up in that kind of environment. I mean, how many of us who grew up in the church grew up really thinking that we were just kind of lucky that somehow Jesus came along, because otherwise it would have been pretty ugly, right? That somehow this Jesus just came along and looked at me and said, well, I'm going to take pity on me, right? I grew up a little bit in this environment where we sat down and we saw the great stories of all the great people who were awful and had terrible problems in their lives, and they tell you the sob stories, and I still remember them, right? The sob stories of, you know, back in the days when I did all the bad things that you could ever imagine, and the sermons would be miles and miles of the bad things that I did in my life. And then in the end, it would be, and I found Jesus and everything was great. And I would walk out of there and I would say, yeah, but it sort of sounds to me like you enjoyed the other part a whole lot more than you enjoyed Jesus, right? Like that makes more sense. I once heard a preacher who said, if I got to choose an afterlife, he says, I would choose the Norse afterlife, because I would get to slay all night and feast all, or slay all day and feast all night, and I get to do all this. And he said, this is what is exciting to me, and I just almost wept as I watched this, because his whole point was, but really what it's about is living for Jesus. And I thought, well, I don't get it. You know, if the other part is more exciting, why are we choosing this? You know, I think so often we can think about Jesus loving me, and we think, okay, Jesus loves me. That's not that terribly exciting, right? He picked me up, he formed me out of some goo, and he made me okay. Well, tonight I want to enter into the reality of this. I want to think about this idea of what it means to truly, truly, truly be loved. Because I think it's going to make a real challenge for us when it comes to truly, truly, truly loving others. And the amazing part about this, if we're going to live out a sheep life, we've got to learn how to do this well. And it's not easy. So if you have your Bibles, let's journey a little bit further into this. Because yesterday I wanted to remind you of the pinnacle piece, right? That God loves us. That God loves you. He comes after you. He seeks after you. He desires you. But I want to remind you that no pastor stands up and is ignorant to the fact that life is not that easy. It's not just that God loves me and everything's cool and easy and that your problems don't matter. It's not that you're perfect and that you will not bug others. There's something much deeper, much more enriching, much more true about the faith which we profess. So if you have your Bibles, open to Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to read verses 22 to 32, and just as last night, I invite you to keep your hand there, because we're going to flip around just a little bit so we get a little bit of the context, because a lot's going on here. You notice I'm reading big chunks of Scripture. I'm a huge fan of reading big chunks of Scripture. I never preach out of the Proverbs, because they're so hard for me to preach out of, because it's one saying and the context is somewhere back in Genesis and I have to jump, so I just don't even worry about it. I just go to Genesis, right? So let's open to Genesis 32. I'm going to start in verse 22 and keep your hand there and go with me as we hear the word of our Lord. That night Jacob got up and he took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask me my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. May God bless the reading of his word. And so we're journeying along. The first story that we look at when the sacred and the secular met was when God comes down and covers Moses in this sort of grand gesture, this grand scene, this grand God who can't be seen face to face, because if whoever is seen face to face will do what? Will surely die. And when I think of that God, I am terrified. I still have a younger brother. He's still younger than me, but now he's a bit bigger than I am. You see, when we were little, I was about 6 years older than him, and you know, I was much more mature than he was. So of course, I was in charge, right? Of course I was in charge. That was the right way it should be. And my younger brother didn't always like that I was in charge. He didn't really believe it either. And I remember one day when my little brother got me upset. Now, if you've had siblings, you understand that sometimes it happens that you can get upset with a little brother. And my little brother got me so upset, I didn't know what to do. Did you ever have that moment when you were just so upset that you just didn't know what to do, and you just kind of tightened up? And I remember holding him just so tight, and I didn't know what to do. And he started to headbutt me, because I was holding him so tight that he didn't know what to do. Did you know this? And he started to headbutt me, and the only thing I could think of was to hold on to his head. And then he started to swing at me, so the only thing I do is wrap my legs around him. And I remember squeezing so tight because I didn't know what to do. And my brother got, as a side note, my brother had very, his capillaries were very close, I swear, in his nose. His capillaries were very close to the skin. And so I swear, this happened a lot. He got lots of nosebleeds. So coming back, so I was standing there and I was squeezing him so tight one time because I didn't know what to do. And his nose just started to gush blood all over me. Needless to say, I felt horrible. I was horrified. Not really. I was so still angry. To this day, my brother he'll come to me and say, "What are you going to do, squeeze my head?" When he makes me upset. Of course, now he's a Marine and he stands 6'4" and he's about this wide. So no, I won't squeeze his head anymore. But it reminds me so much of how often my attitudes and my actions get the best of me. You know, when someone wrongs me, I'm not quite sure what to do. I feel angry. I feel hurt. I feel upset. Or when I've wronged somebody else and I know it, I'm not sure what to do with that. I'm scared. Did you ever walk down a grocery aisle and see that person and turn around and walk the other way? I wasn't going to use pew, but you know what I'm talking about. Did you ever come to church and you see that person across the way, and maybe that person's in here, and you just kind of find your way to the restroom at just the opportune time to avoid that interaction, to avoid that awkwardness? Well, here's what's going on with Jacob's life. I mean, Jacob, you guys know some of the story, but Jacob went and stole his father's birthright. Remember this? So he goes and he tricks his father and he wears the camel hair and his poor blind dad blesses him and gives him all that he owns. You remember this? And then somehow Jacob makes hay with this, you know? And I have a problem. There's a part of me that has a problem with the people who God chooses, right? Because, you know, Jacob goes and makes hay with this. He ends up having all kinds of stuff, and he ends up being very wealthy and very prosperous, and he gets the woman that he wants, and he gets, you know, he takes him 7 years, but he gets there, right? And he gets everything that he wants, and he has kids, and he has flocks, and he has everything that would be seen as prosperous and valuable and important, and he seems to have made it. Until this one day when he's walking along and he realizes that his brother Esau is nearby. And all that Jacob had made of himself, all that God had blessed him with and had helped him produce, all the stuff, all the promise, all the generational blessing is melting away. If you flip to chapter 32, the very beginning, Jacob moves on after he tricks his uncle Laban. And Laban sends them off. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him, it says in verse 1. When Jacob saw these angels, he again felt blessed. This is the camp of God. Jacob sent his messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau, it says in verse 3. He instructed them, "This is what you are to say to my master Esau." I mean, you can almost feel this. I mean, here's this moment of walking down the pew aisle and seeing Esau again and just thinking, "Oh no, how is this going to go? This is scary. This is scary." And he's heading towards Esau, and he sends messengers ahead to them, and he says, "This is what you're to say. Your servant Jacob says, I have been staying with Laban and have remained there until now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, men servants and maid servants." You see, here's the funny thing about what we talked about yesterday. Remember what is so hard about being vulnerable? We talked a little about it's so hard to be exposed and to be vulnerable. One of the things about being vulnerable is that we have to be weak. And for Jacob, he doesn't take that tact. Instead, he goes to Esau and says, "Hey, Esau, look, it's cool, man. I am prosperous. You want to be my buddy because I'm powerful and I got stuff." Have you ever done that in your mind? Hey, you know what? It's all good. I'm successful. You don't want to be angry at me. I have power in this church. How dare you talk against me, right? And this is, goes on in our mind. Let's be honest. I am bigger than you, little brother. Have you ever had that moment, that thought? Hey, Esau, look, you don't want to mess with this. Right? And by the way, here, I'll take care of you. You know, it'll be good. Let's just be good. Let's just be good. No worries. Let's just be good. Let's just let it be. And I think sometimes this is how we as church address forgiveness. Right? Hey, can you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. And it's just good. It's good. It's good. Let's just not talk about it. We don't need to bring it up. Let's not air our dirty laundry. It's good. We're good. We're good. We're good. We're good. Bloody nose, here's a towel. We're good. I mean, right? But here's the problem. Without the Moses, without the vulnerability, we're not really good, are we? What is really going on inside of you? Today, what is really going on inside of you? So when I became a pastor, I shared I was on a prosperous journey to being an engineer, and I had this calling, and I was sure it was a calling, because dang it, I was sure it was a calling, and everybody was telling me it was a calling, so it must be a calling, and so I was going to go forth with this calling. But you know, it's kind of important to ask your wife if she thinks it's a calling too. And I didn't do a very good job of asking my wife if she thought it was a calling too. And so I went forth with all the gusto I could muster. Man, I went to seminary and I studied and I became really smart. Really, I hate those people. I was one of them. And I was going to show the world that this was really a calling, and I was going to make this calling happen, baby. And the Church of Jesus Christ was never going to be the same because I was following my calling. And I was going to read all the best books, and I was going to know all the best lines, and I was going to preach the best sermons, and I was going to have people who would come to Jesus because of me. It's important to ask your wife if it's really the same calling. And it took her a long time to actually voice to me the challenges and the fear that she had of entering into that calling. And it took me a really long time to figure out my arrogance in that calling. And between us, there really grew this terrible disease that kept us from actually either of us following our calling. You see, we do what Jacob is doing here. We want to make sure that we have all the right things in a row, and we want to make sure that I am in the right, and we want to make sure that I have the right defense, and we want to make sure I have the right calling, and we want to make sure I know the right scripture, and we want to make sure that I have the right tools to be the best person I can be. But when it comes to that person who we have hurt, all the tools and all the talking and all the theologies and all the calling and all the arrogance in the world doesn't break that chasm. And so we have Jacob showing up to his brother Esau, who he has wronged in so many ways, and he's showing up saying, "Hey, look, Jacob, or look, Esau, it's all good, man. Look, I've got all this stuff. We're good, right? It's all going to work out, right? Let's just make sure it works, okay? We're good. Everybody's good. We're good. It's good. It's good, right? Good. It's good." When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, this is in verse 6, "We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." And Jacob goes, "It's not good." This is when we lash out at each other. "Hey, it's good, right? Yeah, we're good. I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm sorry. We're good. But don't you dare park in my spot again. Don't you dare sit in my pew again. But don't you dare bring up that new carpet color again. But don't you dare challenge, right? Dot, dot, dot. But don't you dare take that other step." And what happens is that in doing that, in ignoring what's going on, ignoring the elephant in the room, as they say, we just become further and further apart because more and more things become untouchable. As a church, the more we let those things fester, the more we let those things get in us, the more we become separated. I think the greatest healing moment we could have as a church is if we sat down and said, "This is what I'm afraid of. If this is true, then here is what I lose. If what you say is real, then here is what I am afraid I miss out on. If you get power here, I'm afraid you'll also take it here. If we give in on the worship music on Sunday morning, I'm afraid I will lose this. If you do it differently, someone else might not meet Jesus just the way that I did." You see, so often we want to protect the things which are most valuable to us, but we do it in this way of trying to avoid one another, trying to avoid the conflict, trying to avoid the vulnerability, and trying to send forth all of our sheep and our camels and our goats and say, we're okay. And then when they come back with 400 men, we just hide. We just hide. And Jacob does this really pitiful thing. In great fear and distress, Jacob divides his people. I mean, it's right here in Scripture. Jacob divides his people and says, well, he can't take us all. It actually says that. I'm not just making that up. Here it says, in great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and the herds and the camels as well. He thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, the other is left and may in fact escape. So where there could have been one, there is now three. Do you get this? You see, by throwing all this stuff, by putting all his value and his worth and his all rightness into that, by ignoring the elephant in the room, by actually not by not being able to come with any kind of contrition, Jacob has just made things infinitely worse. Then, verse 9, I love this. Then, now that he's down the path that far, what does Jacob do? Those who have your Bible open, can you tell me? Then Jacob prayed. You see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? And we talked a little bit about this yesterday, right? We want to figure it out first and then get God's blessing upon it, right? Hey, God, let me just get it all straight. You know what? I will make it better with my brother. And then I'll come to say, God, hey, look, God, we're good. It's good. We're all good. Look, good. I got sheep and goats. He's got sheep and goats. Everybody's got sheep and goats. I don't know what it is about sheep and goats. Apparently that was a cool thing to have. Camels, maybe. I'm not sure. But we all got what we need, right? We're all okay. Look, God, look at us. Look at us, little Sotara Church of the Brethren. We've got it together, and we are all okay. I saw a lot of eyebrows go up. That was really cool. But this is what we want to do, isn't it? And what happens when someone comes in from the outside and looks at that world? Dude, I'm not okay. I'm glad you got it okay, but clearly I don't belong here. Clearly I don't belong here. You see, I think sometimes we are struck by the world's honesty and not quite sure what to do with it. So Jacob prays, O God of my father Abraham, Isaac, O Lord, who has said to me, go back to your country with your relatives and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff. And he goes on to say how he has become prosperous. Save me, I pray, in verse 11, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I'm afraid he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. I mean, listen to this. Listen to this thing. Jacob's like, oh God, I am nothing. You have given me everything and I didn't deserve any of it. And just so you know, Esau's the mean one here. He's going to come and he's going to kill me and also the women and children. But you have said, I will make you prosper. I love it. It's the Moses argument, right? You said it, therefore it must be. You said, I will make you prosper. And he spent the night there. And from what he had, he selected a gift for Esau, and he sends the gift out just one more time as an appeasement gift. Hey, Esau, here's a Ferrari. Don't kill me. A camel, I don't know. That's close. I don't know what an exchange rate between camels and Ferraris are, but I'm pretty sure it was close to that. I will pacify him, he says in verse 20, with these gifts I'm sending on ahead, and later I will see him, and perhaps he will receive me. So Jacob's gifts went ahead, and Jacob hung out behind. Oh, how often we do this. We send forth all of our stuff. We send forth everything that's external to us. We give away all the farm just to make sure that no one actually has to see or know or be near me. Because the moment they see me, will break loose. You see, Jacob's first response, his first response is to appease the anger through stuff. is to appease the anger through everything external to himself. To appease the anger through anything that is. Remember we talked about relationship, right? Anything that he has invested in that's outside of himself. Imagine if God had done that. If God had invested in us in a very external way. Perhaps if those who say the prosperity gospel folks were right? That all God came to do was to give us more stuff. Imagine how hollow that is. And yet we do it all the time, don't we? We do it all the time. We don't want to give of ourselves. We want to give of something outside of ourselves and make it all okay. I don't want to risk anything of any value. I will give you a Ferrari, but I won't give you myself. This is what makes, and this is a side note, so this is my rabbit trail, but this is what makes Jesus so cool. And I'm going to go back to this. I said this on Sunday morning, I said it on Sunday evening, I'm going to say it again today, and I'm going to say it again tomorrow. But this is what's really cool, is Jesus is investing in us as in his children, not as in his Ferrari. Jesus is investing in us. He has come and been among us. He has walked with us. And to me, that is such a beautiful gift. And so that night, Jacob falls asleep. And what happens when he falls asleep? Very random thing. Some dude comes and starts wrestling with him. And, you know, how metaphorical is the Bible? I have no idea. Did he actually wrestle? I don't know. Was it actually Greco-Roman style? I have no clue. I'm not sure what was going on here. Because it does sound a little bit odd to our modern ears, you know, this idea that God comes down and like has this wrestling match with Jacob. But think about that. What does it take? I mean, it's a very, very cool physical illustration. Are any of you wrestlers? Has anybody in here ever wrestled? Anybody have brothers that you wrestle with, or sisters that you wrestle with, or sons or daughters that you wrestle with, figuratively or really? But in wrestling, there's a very physicality, there's a connection, there's a give and take. When I move, you have to move or not, right? And it's a very sort of intimate thing, right? It's a very physical kind of thing. And what happens is Jacob has this sort of very physical encounter, not with stuff, not with things, it was all of himself. It was him and someone else, and there was nothing else there. And the two of them tussled and fought and wrestled and grappled and held on. And in the morning, the guy says, "Dude, let me go." And he says, "I will not let you go." It's almost like God wins the argument again. Because here is Jacob, who's trying to do everything external to himself. He's trying to fix it in any way possible. He's trying to make it okay. Let's just make it okay. And God comes in and grabs a hold of him and says, "Hold me." And Jacob takes a hold of him, and he gets it, and he holds on. And he is never the same. Let me say that again. Jacob holds on, and he is never the same. And you say, "Well, he limped from then on." And I say, he remembered what it means to be touched by someone and something else. He exposes himself, his very body, his very being, to the other and comes away wounded. Welcome to life. I think Jacob, for the first time in his life, lived on that moment. I think he experienced life in a new way because he felt the pain of what it meant to be in relationship with another person. He could understand Esau in a whole new way in that moment because he knew what it meant to come encounter with someone, to wrestle with someone, and walk away wounded. Sound like somebody else you know? For when Jesus wanted to come and save us, what did he do but embody us, become like us, walk with us, take the pains of us, bring them into himself, that he might know what it meant to be in relationship with us, to know what it meant to love another and be hurt, to know what it meant to hold another and be pained by it, to know what it meant to feel another in your presence. This is what makes life so valuable. And Jacob gets that moment, and he walks away, and he says, "And what do I call you?" And God says, "Why do you ask my name?" Now, just as a bit of a tidbit, the name of God is the unspeakable name. So essentially what he's saying here is, you know who I am. And Jacob makes this place and says, I have wrestled with God. Jacob looked up right away in verse 33. I love it. He doesn't even wake up. He doesn't even get up. He woke up, he looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. And he protects him. He protects himself. He divides his children. He divides his wives. He cringes. He prepares himself. He waits for the hammer to fall. But Esau, in verse 4, ran to meet Jacob. He embraced him. He threw his arms around him. He kissed him. And together they wept. So, church, I hate to say it, but it requires of us to walk in the pain of relationship, to know what it means to be connected. You say, yeah, but I've been hurt so often. And I say, yes, that's what it means to be vulnerable and allow others in. And you said, yeah, but you promised me yesterday that Jesus loves me, and that means everything will be okay. It does. But remember that Jesus loves you and felt pain because of you and with you and beside you. Now you say, man, this is such a downer of a service. It's Monday, man. Like, I'm already at a bad day. But here's the deal. It's in those moments where Jacob and Esau meet and they weep together and they are exposed before one another and they are fully known and fully loved. Did you ever have a reconciliation where you were fully known and fully loved? Have you ever opened yourself up to another and known that forgiveness? This is the risk, and this is the reward. This is the journey that we're on together. This is our unified struggle, that in journeying together, we might know one another, and in knowing one another, become the kingdom of God that he has placed here and now, that we can weep with others, and we can rejoice with others. We can know one another and be fully known and fully loved in this place and forevermore. Amen. So we're going to close with hymn number 363, and I'm going to offer the same invitation I did last evening. If you just need prayer, if you want to pray with someone, if you want to pray at someone, if you want to pray in the midst of someone else, I invite you to do that. If you want to grab a friend and say, hey, can we pray together? Cool, find a spot, do it. If you just want to stand up, I'm sure there's some deacons here who would love to pray with you. If you just want to sneak next to the person next to you and just lay your head on their shoulder and say, hey, I'm praying, that's cool too. If you'd like to come up here and pray with me, I'll be hanging out here. If you want to know what it means to be fully known and fully loved, the first step is to open ourselves up to the one who knows you more than you think and loves you more than you know. Come to Jesus as we sing together. didn't have my timekeeper this evening. I apologize for that. But go in the grace and mercy and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns both now and forevermore. And for goodness sakes, let's forgive one another as he forgive us. Amen.